Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Habakkuk 2, verse 1. There's something I want to share with you about vision in the generic sense of vision. Every believer should have vision, should we not? And so vision, dream, something in front of us, something we're working towards, something we're living from, living for. But I want to talk to you about the church vision, who we are as Living Way, who we want to be known as Living Way in our community. We're going to dive into this for the next 20, 25 minutes or so. I say or so, so in case I go 45 minutes, I don't lie. I'm not going to go 45 minutes, I promise you. Because the first thing Bishop's going to ask is, did you preach too long? And I want to be able to say, no, I did not. And then I want to be able to say, did you preach too long? No, I don't disrespect him like that. You will, yes. Pastor Becky will. Thank you. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. We always jump to verse 2. Can I encourage you, when you read your favorite verses, read the verses before and after so that you make sure you're getting the right context? Study to show yourself approved. Come on, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's where verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Somebody say, it's in front of me. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Let me say that one more time for effect. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Will come is as exact as it needs to be, but the writer puts another word in there. It will surely, matter of fact, no chance that it doesn't come to pass. It will not tarry. And then one more verse for your reading while we stand. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, own the vision. Own the vision. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, take ownership of what's in front of you. You may be seated. I've been saying this recently, and it's a revelation to me, and I hope that it's a revelation to you. When you get in your car, I think about this every time I sit behind the steering wheel of any vehicle. And this is just how God talks to me. First thing I do, I still hear my dad teaching me how to drive when I was 11, 12 years old on the ranch. Said the first thing you do is you check your mirrors to see what's around you and what's behind you. And then he said, never reverse if you can go forward. The only time you reverse in a car is if there is no way for you to actually pull forward. And then I hear this in my head all the time, something God showed me. Your rearview mirror is this big. Your windshield is 50 times bigger. Because what's in front of you is greater than what is behind you. But we've got a lot of people who it seems like we're driving, looking in the rearview mirror. And if you look, come on, you can be looking straight ahead and still thinking about what's behind you. But when you get a vision of God, doesn't matter what's behind you. Doesn't matter what you've come out of. There is greater in front of you. And although I may be preaching from the context of the vision of this house and this church, remember, this is a corporate vision. And a corporate or a corporation is made up of individuals. So I need to make sure that you're on board and you've got a vision for your life so that you can join together with the vision of this house. And Habakkuk tells us about writing the vision, writing the brand, writing the slogan, writing the tagline for his life, writing it down in such a way that he never forgets it. I'm big on writing down the vision. You go in my office, I've got post-it notes. I've got 4x6 index cards all over my desk. Some of them are reminders. Some of them are God thoughts. Some of them are bills that need to be paid. Some of them are things that I need to do. I've got a list of 100 things to do that I need to get done, and it's sitting on an easel right in my view every day when I go in there. It's vision. I'm a visual person. But can I tell you that you need to get it out of your mind, and you need to get it on paper? You need to write it on paper, because the Bible says that the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. When we're talking about God-given vision, we're talking about God-given word. The moment he drops it in your mind, if God wakes you up at 3 a.m., you better get up and write it down. I don't know how many times God's woke me up with a word that I said, that's the best sermon I'm ever going to preach. I cannot wait to preach that. And God's saying, Brandon, get up and write it down. God's saying, Brandon, grab your phone and type it out. And I tell God, there's no way that I'll forget that word. There's no way that that word is going to slip from my memory. It's too anointed. It's too powerful. It's too life-changing. Just to wake up 4 hours later saying, what was that? How many of you ever had a dream and it was so vivid, you wake up and then you can't remember the dream? It happens all the time. What's more dangerous is for that to happen in the spirit. We've got to have a vision that is repetitive in our lives, that we see in front of us at all times, that is a part of our lives in such a way that we don't deviate from it, that we don't get unfocused, that we don't let our attention be diverted to other things, but we are so focused on the vision God has given us that we will do everything we can to bring it to pass. And I'm talking to believers this morning. You're not like the also-ran believers. You're not going to be a footnote in the history of God. You are the people of God, followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ, apostles of Jesus Christ. We have an apostolic anointing to do what God has called us to do. If God said it, he's not just telling you what he's going to do. If God tells you the vision, he wants us to be a part of that vision. We're not here to spectate. We're not here to watch what God does. I'm here to be a part of what God does. Not only am I going to see the vision, I am the vision. I am part of what God is calling me to do. In prayer, talking about the vision for Living Way, God just began to speak to me, began to show me pictures, snapshots. I don't know if it's 2020 or 2030, but snapshots of what he's got planned and what he's going to do. And I'm excited to be a part of that. And I say, God, I'm ready. And then God just encouraged me with this, Brandon, you know that you doing what you're doing now, that was the vision for somebody else. Me standing on this platform today preaching, that was Pastor Becky's vision. It's come to pass. And now her vision has vision. Don't miss it now. Your vision has vision. The Bible says this, your vision will begin to speak. Pastor Becky's vision right now is speaking back to her about the next vision. Are you missing it today? Can I encourage you that what God has planned for your life, he will begin to speak to you. But all you know, it's a God-given vision. When the vision pivots and starts talking back to you, starts speaking the word back to you, starts speaking the next step back to you. I'm living it, y'all. I'm the vision that's speaking vision. And now in my house, I've got two little visions that are now starting to speak vision back to me. When Tyler stands up here and leads a song on guitar, you think, oh, isn't that cute? Pastor's getting his kids involved. No, no, no. It's not cute. It's vision. And when he stands up here and leads a song, he's not just leading me in worship. It's my vision talking vision back to me, the vision of Pastor Becky's vision, which means vision gives birth to vision, which gives birth to vision, which gives birth to vision. And the cycle keeps going until I hit the pearly gates. So if your vision is not talking, I've got one question for you. Are you seeing the right things? Are you hearing the right words? I got to hurry through this because I got a lot to say in just a few moments. Can I tell you what is so special about Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1? This is what he says, I'll stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what God will say unto me. Uses a different verb here than I would use. He said, I will watch what God says. Now hold on. If I was writing that, I would say, I'm going to hear what God says. Or I'm going to watch what God does. It's not what Habakkuk says. He said, I'm going to watch what God says. Meaning this, church, when God speaks, it's not just word. It's building blocks. It's pictures. It's a manifestation of what God has promised you. Can I encourage you today, when you read your word this week, it's not black ink on white paper. It is images that God is bringing to you. It is snapshots of your future that God is placing before you. Every time that God speaks, it should produce something. Just like Genesis 1:1 when he said, let there be light. Light was not just word. Light was an action. Light was something visible. Light was something that manifested. When the vision or the word of God was released, God doesn't release word. God releases vision. God releases something you can see. And I need somebody in the house today to grab hold of the vision that when God starts talking, you're not just writing down words, you're writing down the picture that God wants you to see and that God wants you to live in. Man said, write the vision, make it plain. This is what the message version says. Write it in big, bold letters so that you can read it while you're on the move. We have too many believers that hear from God and stop because they want to pray about what they heard. Why do we have to pray about what God said? Prayer is God and us talking. There is no need for prayer over an established word that God has already declared. I pray for direction. I pray for guidance. But I don't pray for something that God has already put on the inside of me because it is already there. If God tells me to do it, I don't have to stop and ask three people for confirmation. I don't have to stop and fleece God. When God speaks a word to me, I have to have enough discernment that I can hear from God, walk for God, work for God, speak for God all simultaneously. My admiration for Mandy grew when she became a mother because I was able to see her cook, clean, change diapers, watch her favorite TV program, surf the internet all at the same time. It's amazing how much you can do when you multitask. But some of us have gotten real good at being one-dimensional Christians. Let's just talk about it for a little while. All during praise and your favorite song, you're all in.
I mean, you're causing a big scene.
And then when it's worship, you just go back to your seat. There's no such thing as being a great praiser and not a good worshiper. Then there's some of us, why don't we pray more? Why don't we have more prayer meetings? Why don't you worship more? Why does it just have to be the expression you want? This is not Luby's. We don't, a little bit of praise. I like John 3:16. Oh, Matthew 6:33 is really good. Ephesians 3:20 tastes so good to me. But then when we have church work day, oh, no. That's not spiritual enough for me. We've got to be able to multitask. As a church, we've got to be able to do it all. We've got to be able to be worshipers, praisers. But then when time comes to swing a hammer, let's swing a hammer. When time comes to canvas our neighborhood or to go downtown, we need 200 or 300 people to mobilize and take Jesus to the streets. We need to be able to do anything at the drop of a hat. One of the things I love about every person that's on staff at Living Way, when you look at Sister Trish, everything under the sun is in her job description. Besides Fender, she does so much for this church, it's unbelievable. She's never once said no.
She's learned to multitask. She knows that if I'm going to be a part of this staff and this leadership team, I've got to be ready to do whatever needs to be done in that moment. We remodeled that building next door. I've been preaching in that building the last 3 weeks, but before I preached it, I swept it. I painted the stage. I tore down old speakers. I replaced light bulbs. I fixed toilets. All of that's happened in the last month. Why? Because if it needs to be done, I'm going to do it. I don't have to do one thing and stop one thing to begin another. I can do this, and while I'm praising, let me pray a little bit. And while I'm praying, let me worship a little bit. And I can pray while I'm serving. Somebody needs their car started, let me give them a jump after church. Whatever you need done, God, I want to be a part of the vision. I don't have to stop to start something else. I can do it all. I can do anything that you want me to do. So there's slogans that we know. We know Allstate slogan, and we know McDonald's slogan. We know all of these slogans. But what's Living Way's slogan? The best is yet to come. I like that. The best is next. I like that. But what are we known as around town? We're known as the crazy church. We're known as the running church. The tongue-talking church. We're known as the spinning church, the back-flipping church. We're known as the loud church. We're known by our ethnicity kind of a church. Come on now. White, black, brown, in between. We're known by a lot of things. But I want to be known around this city for one thing: Jesus. When people hear Living Way, I want them to think Jesus. I want them to say, those are some crazy praisers, but man, they love Jesus. Man, I don't know if you're supposed to run in church like they do at Living Way, but man, if they're running for Jesus, I guess it's okay. I want everything we do to have Jesus at the center of our church, of our worship, of our preaching, of our word. Why? Because Jesus is the only thing that can save, heal, deliver, restore. Jesus has to be at the center. When people come here, we need to preach Jesus. Doesn't matter if it's a man or woman behind this pulpit. Doesn't matter if it is an old person, a young person. Doesn't matter if they're wearing a tuxedo, a three-piece suit, or if they're dressed down in Jordans and skinny jeans. I want everybody that stands on this pulpit, on this platform, I want them to preach Jesus. I want them to give altar calls. I want them to declare there is a better way. I want them to declare you don't have to live like the rest of the world. This is not an ordinary church. We're going to call you to an altar. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to take you to the waters of baptism. We want to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a Jesus church. And that Jesus is going to be described in three words from now on. I'm sharing you my heart. I'm sharing you Mandy's heart. I've gotten the blessing of Bishop and Pastor Becky on this vision. I let them read it. They gave their stamp of approval. I love this. I wish we had come up with this years ago, and I'm going to give it to you in the next 7 or 8 minutes. There's three words that I want everyone to know Living Way for. Number one, living. Number two, loving. Number three, leading. Living the way. Loving the way. Leading the way. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 very quickly. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us the identity of our church, because it's where Bishop received the name for our church. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. He said, no longer on stone tablets, I'm writing my word in them, on their hearts. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Somebody should say yes. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There is no more offering for sin because there was one offering made 2,000 years ago. It was Jesus Christ on the cross. Nothing else has to happen. It's already happened. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Somebody say boldness. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The veil has been torn. We have complete access to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm excited about that, but we've got to be that for the city of San Antonio. Verse 20, it's where we get our name from, by a new and living way. Doesn't have to be done with a sheep or a goat. There's no such thing as chief priest and high priest, we've got one priest. His name is Jesus. It was his blood as a perfect lamb sacrifice that we are washed in and covered in. And when you say yes to Jesus, it changes everything. So when we say new and living way, what we're saying is living way is going to be the tunnel. It's going to be the portal for our city to find Jesus. That they don't have to go through people. They don't have to go through denomination. They don't have to take a 10-step membership program. They don't have to do any of that. All they have to do is show up at Living Way, and we're going to take them to Jesus. We're going to take them to church. We're going to take them to the holiest of places. But here's where Living Way is at. We've been good at bringing people into the church and getting them to an altar. But in 2019, get ready to expand, because there's 2 million people that won't show up at Living Way. And if they won't show up to get Jesus, by God, we'll load up Jesus and take him to them. Woo! So living, number one, living. Living comes from John 10:10. You've heard us say it before. That Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. That's what Jesus said. The number one thing about living is eternal life. We want to make that very plain. Every time you walk in this room, we want to encourage you, give your life to Jesus. If you have not already. If you have, make sure he's number one in your life. Our whole purpose is to introduce people to Jesus. And if you already know Jesus, to let him be established bigger in your life. Living Way Church is about eternal life. It's about taking people with addictions and getting them freed. It's about taking them to the cross and saying that Jesus that no longer hangs there bled for you, died for you, and you need him in your life. And when you get him in your life, you get a place in heaven, but not just a place in heaven. God said, I'm going to give you life in abundance. So when we talk about living the way for our city, we're talking about Jesus, eternal life through him. But now let's talk about abundant life and the three P's of abundant life. Personal, prosperous, and purposeful. When we talk about abundant life, we want your marriage to be blessed. We don't want you to have a great job but sit in your driveway not wanting to go in at night because of your home life. We want to let you know that what God has joined together, nothing can tear apart. We want to let you know that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. We want to let you know as a husband, God is going to bring you the right wife. As a woman, God's going to bring you the right husband. And should you have problems in your marriage, we don't want you to duck out of church. We want you to bring them and lay them on the altar. We want God to do something spiritually delivering in your marriage. But listen, if it takes practical steps, we're going to set you up with a counselor. We're going to make sure that you get all the marital counseling you can get, because your marriage is important to God. We don't want you to go to heaven but have a terrible trip to heaven because of who you're hooked up with. You say, well, they're not saved yet. We'll get them saved. You just keep coming. Come by yourself. We'll pray them in. We prayed many a man into the kingdom. We prayed many a woman into the kingdom. We've had couples get divorced and remarry, the same people, get married to the same people a second time because God restores that marriage. Family. We want your family to be right. We don't want your kids to grow up and be like their peers and be a part of statistics. We want them to be on the dean's list. We want them to be AB honor roll. We want them to be a shining light in their community, in their schools, in their families. But when you've got family problems, we want to be there to pray for you. You got a young man hooked on drugs? Bring him to church. We'll pray the deliverance into him, and then we're going to make sure that we walk the steps of deliverance with him. Do our best to help him find a job. Do our best to make sure we keep tabs on him every day so he doesn't get around the wrong crowd. He can stay with the right crowd. God forbid your 16-year-old daughter gets pregnant. We're not going to shun her. We're going to love her. We're going to put our arms around her. The deed has been done. We're going to teach her how to be a mother. We're going to teach her how to change a diaper. We're going to teach her what it means now, kids, raising kids. But we're going to show them what it means now to be a mother of faith and to raise that baby up to not produce the same results that she produced. What it's about. We've got licensed counselors that call this church. Let us know how we can help. Let us know how we can serve. We've got commissioned counselors here at Living Way that we're ready to help the family of Living Way give practical steps so that they can live the abundant life through Jesus. Because at the end of the day, me telling you, well, Jesus loves you and I'm praying for you, that might not get you to where you need to be. But somebody here taking you by the hand and say, these are the 8 steps we're going to walk over the next 3 months. And on the next, after 90 days, you're going to have the abundant life in that area that God has called you to have. Prosperous. We want your health to be good. When you have cancer, we want to pray the cancer out. We want to pray Jesus in. When you've got things going on and the doctors say there's no hope, we want to step in and remind you of the blessed assurance that you have in Jesus Christ. We want to remind you by the stripes of Jesus' back, you've already been made whole. We want your career to be blessed. We don't want you to just eke through and eke out a living, running from Friday to Friday to cover checks you wrote on Monday. We want you to have a surplus. We want you to have a job. We want you to actually have more than a job. We want you to have a career. We want you to start a business. We want you to do all of those things. You say, I don't know how to do that. There are successful people all over this building we're going to hook you up with. Now, you're going to have to do what they say, but we're going to give you the information. We're going to bring in people that are successful. We're going to bring in entrepreneurs from outside of this church on Thursday nights, on Monday nights, to teach steps that we can. You say, is that scriptural? Oh, it's scriptural, because they're going to give you some scripture and they're going to give you some practical steps to become successful in career. We want to make sure your finances are all what they should be. We don't want you to struggle. God doesn't want you to struggle. Too much of our time is spent thinking about money. We need more. I got to have more. I can't cover this. I can't do that. How are my kids going to go to college? Why don't you just own the vision, become a part of what God's doing, and let God navigate all the difficult waters that it's going to take to get your kids through school. But I'm here to tell you, you've got bright kids. Keep them involved in church. Pray over them. Declare over them. Make sure they're getting A's and B's, and watch the scholarships. Watch the grants. Watch all those things roll in. We had 2 sisters got almost $3 million of scholarships this past year, all because a dad sat on the front row and made sure their little rear ends were in church every Sunday, were in youth every Wednesday. Look at what the Lord can do. It's abundant life. Purposeful. Everybody in here should have a vision. Everybody in here should have a dream. Everybody in here should have destiny. We can preach it all we want, but you've got to own it. You've got to reach out and grab it and pull it down and say, that's me, Pastor. This is my vision for my house. This is my children's destiny. This is what I'm proclaiming. This is what I'm prophesying. We don't just want to tell you the best is yet to come. We want to tell you how to get there. And again, it's more than just saying, Jesus loves you and Jesus is in your corner. That's good rah-rah speech. But we need to be able to give you the word of God and say, these are the things that you're going to have to do. But when you do these things, your vision, your dream, your destiny is a foregone conclusion. Just think in your mind all the things that God has given you. And somebody in here saying, I'm too old, you're not too old. Somebody in here saying, I'm too young, you're not too young. I shared with the young people a few weeks ago. There's a young man that was on Shark Tank, made bow ties. 9 years old, making $150,000 a year. That means he's in school learning how to do long division, making $150,000 a year with 5 grown people, let's just say it like that, that are working for him. I'm sorry, Mo can't get to the phone right now. I'm in third period learning about anatomy. I'll get back with you at lunchtime. 150,000 people. He now sends all of his friends to summer camps. 9 years old. I think he's 11 or 12 now. Incredible. No one told him, or I'm sure someone told him, you're too young. He didn't believe what anyone told him. He said, I got a vision. I got a destiny. I got a dream. These are the steps I'm going to do. He got hooked up with the right people. He was on Shark Tank. Him and Damon became partners. You say, I don't have a partner like Damon. No, you got one better. His name's Jesus. I got to move on very quick. Number 2, that was living. Number 2 is loving. 2 things about loving that we want to be known as living. We want to be known as loving the way. The 2 things we want to be known as we love God and we love people.
You say, what kind of people do we love? All types, all ages, all races, all genders. The people that can't figure out which gender they are, we love them. People of the Muslim Brotherhood, we love them. We got a place for you in the church. And you don't have to sit on the back row. You don't have to sit in the balcony. You come sit on the third row if you want to. I don't care who you are. I don't care what problem you have. I don't care what you believe. Living Way Church is a church for all, because I believe if you sit there long enough, we're going to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. If you sit there long enough, we're going to have you have so much Jesus, it's going to change your life. And because God loves everybody, we must love everybody. It doesn't mean I love everything they do. Let's be honest. I don't love everything my kids do. Let me be super honest. I don't love everything I do. It's called unconditional love. I love you like you are, not like I want you to be. Because if I love you like I want you to be, I'll never love you, because you'll never get to that place. I'll always stay frustrated. I can't believe they let those kind of people into the church. You used to be one of those people. Or maybe you still are, but you put on a nice suit and you did your makeup just right and you're wearing a fake mask and we don't see that. But you clubbing on Saturday nights, you bumping, you still snorting, you still drinking, you still doing all the crazy stuff, but you can put it on. Just because somebody sins differently than you or they've been out, it doesn't mean that you're better than them. It all means the same thing. Thank God for His grace that He ain't knocked us out yet, but He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want Living Way to be a place of acceptance. We'll accept you how you are, but we believe God is going to transform you. Love God. Love people. I want this place. Anybody in San Antonio, no matter what they're dealing with, whatever sexual orientation they are, Living Way is your house of worship. And we're going to pray that God delivers. You say, well, man, I don't know. Heterosexuality unchecked is the same as homosexuality. Oh, I knew I wouldn't get a big amen there than that, because you're shacking up now. You're sleeping around now. Don't put me in the same place. I didn't put you in the same place. Sin is anything that separates you from God. And in the same place it talks about sexual orientation and homosexuality, it talks about effeminate men. It talks about fornicators. It talks about adulterers. It talks about children who are disobedient to their parents. It's all sin. And guess what? I love every one of them. I got family members who are gay. I love them. Doesn't change my love. They look different than me. Doesn't change my love. They voted different than me. Doesn't change my love. We've got to be a church that is known for more by what we love than what we hate. Let me say that again. I want to be known for Living Way. I want Living Way to be known more for what we love than what we hate. For what we're for than what we're against. Because if we preach love enough, if we preach for what we're for enough, all that other stuff is going to be shaken out in the wash. Can I get a witness today that you're going to stand with me today and say, we are a church of love, and love is God, and God is love, and we're going to change the world to God's definition. Praise team, come. I got one more for you. Loving was second, leading is third. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. Romans 8:14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are now the sons of God. There's three things here about leading the way. Number one, we have to be a follower of Christ. Because unless you're following Christ, you can't lead anybody. And if you are leading people without following Christ, you're leading them the wrong way. The Bible says the blind leads the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. So the problem I see is a lot of so-called leaders, and I do use quotes, is we've got leaders who are not actually leaders. They're followers. And they're following politically correct things. They're following culturally correct things. They're following seeker-sensitive correct things, and they're not following Jesus Christ. I tell people all the time, had the San Antonio newspaper call me a couple years ago now and said, Pastor Brandon, what are your thoughts on homosexuality? I said, doesn't matter what I think. They said, what? I said, doesn't matter what I think. What I think goes out the door. Now, if you want me to answer what God's word says about it, I can give you 50 verses on what God says love is and what God says love is not. I can give it to you before the law, in the law, after the law. I can show you what Jesus said. I can show you what Paul said in Romans and Corinthians. We can go down that. Needless to say, I didn't get my quote in the newspaper because they wanted controversy. I'm not going to give you what I think. I'm following Christ. Well, don't you think we should go that way? I don't know. I'm following Christ and he's over here. Well, don't you think we should do this and go over here? I don't know. Jesus is not over there. He's there, and that's who I'm following. If you want to go there, go. But as for me and my house, we're following Christ. Which leads us to our second point. We follow Christ so that we can lead family. Before we can talk about we, let's talk about me. Before we can talk about the state of our country, let's talk about our state. Before state, city, before city, your county, before your family, you. I cannot have an expectation on my family, my kids, my marriage if I won't follow Christ. When I follow Christ, I am now in the position where I can lead my family after Christ. And after I've led my family into Christ or after Christ, I can lead in my community. And so I need somebody to understand this. Before God calls you to the other side of the world, God's going to call you to the other side of the street. I'm sick and tired of getting bombarded by missions projects and short-term mission and my kids going over to Africa. I'm not going to pay for their vacation. I'm not going to pay for them to take two pictures at some orphanages and then cliff dive and snorkel for the rest of the week when they will not show up Saturday night to Bible church, when they will not show up to Catalyst on Wednesday nights, when they have never gone down to the streets of San Antonio. Why would God call you to South America when you've never gone to the South Side? I don't understand it. Why would he call you over there when you've got people in your own house you've never talked to Jesus about? I don't mean to get worked up, but it's important. Follow Christ. Lead family. Lead community. This house is in order, which means we're about to lead in community. Stand on your feet. I've been calling elected officials, texting elected officials. God's given us favor with a lot of them right here in Bexar County. We've got the mayor of Live Oak, attends this church, spirit-filled. Been talking with IKEA, been talking with Jordan Ford about how we can join together to impact our community. Been talking with worldwide evangelists that are going to come in and train us for street ministry. And when I talk about street ministry, I'm not talking about cute little street ministry, passing out little cartoon tracks for Jesus. I'm talking about going down to the crack district. I'm talking about going down the streets that are known for prostitution, loving them, laying hands on them, leading them to Jesus. One lady said, now we're going to have two teams. We're going to have the family team that goes out Saturday morning to the projects, but then we're going to have the adult team over 21 because we're going in the bars at midnight. So I don't know if I'm ready for that. You're right. Just you follow Christ for a while. You lead your family. Then we're going to all get on the same page. But when I say mobilize and I say ministry, I'm talking about taking not a group of 10. Let's talk about a group of 300. Just go down to San Antonio, start laying hands on people, loving on people, handing roses to prostitutes and telling them, Jesus loves you. You don't got to live like this. Going to the crack person and saying, listen, God loves you. There is a better way. We're going to make sure you get to church this Sunday. We're going to do our best to get you cleaned up. We got some programs. We got some inroads to some places that you can get deliverance and walk in that. I'm talking about being Jesus to our community. We've done really good on Sunday mornings here at Living Way. Done really good Wednesdays for us and our families. But I feel like we've allowed the light to shine on us. But if you can't get them to the light, take the light to them. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. Say, Pastor, how can I help? Number one, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Number two, own the vision. That means be a part of it. When you hear what we're doing, when you hear what, find out how you can be a part. Find out how your family can be a part. I know I'm out of time. I'm over time right now, but we're going to be done in 3 minutes. A husband and wife, I talked to them in the lobby. And this woman of God has grown so much in the last 6 months. I've seen her press in. I've seen her grow and mature in the things of God. I've seen her countenance change, her visions change, all of these great things. And then her son walked up. I said, man, you're getting tall. I love what God's doing. I said, man, you're going to do great things. And she said, he's got a servant's heart, and he wants to know where he can get involved. That's what it takes. Families investing their lives, their children. I said, you give me 2 weeks, young man, and me and you are going to sit down together. We're going to find a place to plug you in over at Catalyst Kids. Shoot, I'll find a place to plug him in on Sunday mornings at Living Way. If you want to serve, we're going to let you serve. No more red tape, no more 10 weeks, no more let's see. We're going to put you, if you don't work out, that's on you, but we're going to put you to work. Own the vision. Now listen, if you don't know Jesus today, I'm going to make my first plea to you. I would not want to leave this building without the blood of Jesus applied to my life. I would not want to walk one more step out of this building without knowing Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. If you've never made that commitment, it's the first thing. It's the first thing that we want to be known as. We want to give you Jesus life. Life in abundance and eternal life. If that's you, just like BJ's mother, we want you to walk down to this aisle. We want you to give God your best. Maybe you need to rededicate. Now's the time to do that. Put Jesus number one in your life yet again. But here's where the rubber meets the road. You've heard my heart. Pastor Mandy's even said, man, Brandon, there's something different about you. Said, you're keyed up. You're excited about this. I am. I wake up feeling overwhelmed. God, that's a big vision. Need more money, need more people. And God said, I give you the vision. I'll give you the provision. Just share the vision. Get the vision out. People are going to grab hold of it. People are going to jump on this. So this is what I need. And I'm going to talk you out of it before I talk you into it. If you're not serious, stay in your seat, please. But if you're ready to grab hold of this vision and say, I'm going to take ownership of the vision of this house, and I'm going to do my best to make sure everything that you preach, that this house becomes. Here's the young man right here that I was talking about. Brandy, how old is he? He's 8 years old. Don't let an 8-year-old outserve you. Don't let an 8-year-old outwork you. If you're buying into the vision and you want to be a part of this vision, listen, we're not asking you for money. We're not asking you to sign a dotted line today. I just need to know, do you hear my heart? Do you hear the vision for this church? Do you want to be a part of this vision? If that's as plain as I can put it, join us in this altar. Sister Chris Rodriguez is here today. Been coming here as long as I've been coming here. She is a soul winner. I think God has brought her to this church, back to this church for this season. Sister Jerry, you are an encourager. You encourage me. I know if you encourage me, you can encourage the masses. You've got a way with people. God has brought you out of false religion, and he's done that for you so that you can lead hundreds and thousands to Jesus Christ. I believe this. I believe this with all of my heart. I just wish there'd be some more families like the Whitfields that would just grab hands, husbands, wives, bring your children, and come to this altar and say, Pastor, we're sold out to this vision. We're going to live with you. We're going to love with you. We're going to lead with you. We're going to reach our...